A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel. And not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit. Well, let's orientate ourselves in the, we're on a little mini series of Epiphany themes as we work through. And Jesus has been baptized, called out into the wilderness, and he's been commissioned for his ministry. His ministry is inaugurated just as Isaiah had prophesied and we just heard read. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. I wonder when they heard those words, whether it actually occurred to them that it was in the here and the now. And Jesus is preaching a simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. After Jesus called his first disciples, we see what Isaiah meant when he said a great light had dawned. It meant that God's Savior, Jesus, had arrived and was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And Matthew tells us what happens when the good news of the kingdom is preached. Lives are changed. In this case, healing every disease and illness among the people. So that is our context. And I want to explain to you this morning what this manifesto, because that's really what it is, what this inaugural speech means for us today. These few verses contain so few words, yet contain the truth that can save the world. And I want to start by asking you, do you understand what spiritual darkness is? For if we don't, we'll have no enticement to seek the light. Anyone starting a journey needs to know where they are starting out from. And it's the same spiritually. I guess it's what conviction is about. But spiritual darkness is about the fall, when sin and evil came into the very earliest days of creation. It's about humankind's rebellion, deciding to live our lives in the way we want to live them and not in the way God would have us live. It's about death, destruction, rotten hearts, hopelessness, cancer, evil, hatred, and war. That is darkness. And Christians understand this. But of course, many don't even know about that. They think it's pretty much par for the course. I suppose if you've lived in a cave all your life and never known anything but candlelight, you won't know what you're missing on a bright sunny day. Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And certainly, we do live in the valley of the shadow of death. Cancer, dementia, car crashes, war, death and suffering around us. But what Christians believe is that a light has dawned. When you become aware of Jesus and the love he has for you, it is as if the curtains are drawn, like the lights are switched on. The truth is plain to see, hope is restored, life begins to have meaning again. Death holds no fear. I thank God that at the darkest moment in my life, when I identified the bodies of my late wife and son, that when I looked up and saw that simple plastic cross high up on the mortuary wall, I had my own epiphany. What had been little more than a logo for a major brand in religion suddenly for me became a sign of hope. As St. Paul said, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And in my darkness, a light began to shine, to light my path out of hopelessness and into a hope-filled life. And I wonder if you here are in darkness, for we all travel through dark times. Do you feel like you're in the valley of the shadow of the death? Well, let me help you to see that light. How? Well, what does Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. That's why we will all join together in a moment to say the confession together. It's a public act of confession and repentance. So we can say sorry for the things that we have done wrong, or sorry for the things we have failed to get done. It's a promise to turn away from them, to turn away from where we want to go, where we think it's best that we go, and instead turn towards God. You see, the essence of sin isn't so much doing bad things, but simply living our lives in rebellion against God. If we've sat under scriptural, biblical teaching, we know, if we read our Bibles, we know what God would have us do. But so often we think we know best, and we just plow our own course and do our own thing. The problem is that whilst we might find it easy to come to church every Sunday and repent and confess our sins, actually handing over control of our lives to God, i.e. ending our rebellion, is a far, far tougher ask. In a society that prizes self-reliance, self-motivation, self-control, self-approval, in fact, anything else with a self in it, handing over our lives to God, asking Him to be the Lord of our lives, is very, very hard. And actually, it's too much of an ask for many. Jesus' teaching, of course, acknowledges how hard it can be. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Oh, that really is an acknowledgement of how tough it can be. So how do we do this? How do we find the strength, the inspiration, and the power to stay on that narrow path? Because I know I need it just as much as you do. Well, just before Jesus dies, he teaches us this. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And of course, what this passage is about is that Jesus doesn't just, he leaves us bodily, but he doesn't leave us as orphans because he comes to us in his Holy Spirit. It's all about the Spirit of the living God that comes to live in each and every one of us who's made the decision to follow Jesus Christ. This Holy Spirit makes us his church. That makes us the kingdom of God. I know, you're sitting there thinking, really? Are we really the kingdom of God? Oh my goodness, this is a little bit scary. But that's what it means. We, his church, the ecclesia, the gathering of Christ followers, are the kingdom of God here. And we do what Jesus did when he was there. We bring the good news. And when the good news of the gospel is preached, we see healing. We sometimes even see miraculous healing. We certainly can see spiritual healingness. So this spiritual darkness that blights so many hearts is cast aside as the light of the gospel is shone in. And lives are changed. Hope is restored. We are transformed and become agents of that transformation. And the incredible good news is, as St. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." And if you've lived any kind of a normal life full of sin and rebellion, that is the most stupendously fantastic news. The slate has been wiped clean, the old has gone, and the new is here. And I don't know about you, but for me, that is a message of immense hope. Jesus has come as a light into a dark world. Those who are living in darkness, Jesus comes to as a light that banishes the darkness. Those of us who are living in the valley of the shadow of death, this light is dawning. Just when we think we can't go on, when we think that life has lost its purpose, when we think life is futile, a light dawns, a new hope rises. What separates us from God is removed. And so, like the prodigal son, we're suddenly able to have that relationship with God restored once again and feel the embrace of God. We become heirs of the kingdom of God, adopted, not slaves. Jo Bryce said she had this picture of being this warrior princess last Sunday, and I was sitting there thinking, gosh, steady on, this is the 11:15, you know. Apparently lots of you went up to her and thanked her for that picture. And you know, the word princess, of course, if you're a son or daughter, a child of the living God, the King of Kings, I guess it does make us princes and princesses, doesn't it? It's not really an image I had ever thought about. I refer to my daughters as princesses, but that's about as far as it goes. So we now should have the strength to endure. We just look around the world at the number of Christians being martyred for their faith, and we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit, this endurance, this perseverance in the persecuted church, because we know that God works for the good in all things for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we know that when we die, we simply fall asleep waiting for that heavenly reveille when we will be resurrected to enjoy life eternal. This is the good news that is sustaining Margot Lohmann after Derek's death last week. She knows that his earthly travails are over and finished. She knows exactly where he is, and she knows she will be reunited with Derek one day. And that is good news. That is the gospel good news. But the challenge, of course, is not just do we believe it, but are we prepared to share it? Now, I wonder if you don't yet believe that. Perhaps you could come and join the Alpha course starting on Wednesday evening. Perhaps you know somebody who is struggling in the valley of the shadow of death and needs that light shining in their life. Invite them to come on the Alpha course. The Christians Against Poverty Life Skills course is shining a light into the lives of some people who are struggling with everyday living. This is what we are called to do as a church. The news is too good to keep to ourselves. I do hope you thoroughly agree with that. Let me finish with this word from St. Paul. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have seen the light to be the light themselves. We pray for those who aren't sure that they may be drawn and invited in to do the Alpha course. And we pray for this church to be the kingdom of God here in Buckingham, to be your hands and feet amongst the lost, and to spread the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.